Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long, while your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Tonight's episode of Big Blue All Day is not brought to you by anyone. Insert sponsor here. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know, we're doing it live. As always, Mac back in the power chair. On the line, we got the disciple himself and Rahway Tommy.
Party at the Moontown.
All right, boys, shake it out. Let's shed off the stank of this debacle. All right, let's shake it off, boys. Sunday's debacle is behind us. Let's move forward. And as our favorite former defensive coordinator would say, we're on to Dallas.
I mean, is anybody feeling good about this game in Dallas this week? Because my confidence has not been lower this entire season. I mean, a defense that just held Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson to 3 points is at Tony Pollard went off. Like, after seeing what the Lions did to us, like, are the Giants going to be able to stop it? Yes, it's a divisional game. Yes, it's a short week. But I got to say, man, I just don't want to be embarrassed in front of the whole country. Because if we go from, like, yeah, we're a playoff team to lose the Lions and then get beat to shit by the Dallas Cowboys in front of the entire country, sitting, eating turkey, dousing the turkey in the gravy, and it's 45-13, Dallas, we're all going to be sick.
Let's the Giants might be lucky to score 13 points.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Dallas defense that only allows, I believe, 17 points per game, and the Giants are not necessarily known for their offense.
They sacked Kirk Cousins 7 times this Sunday. They were eating him alive.
And all right, I mean, you got Darisaw. Who else is even on that offensive line? I know Darisaw's a stud.
He got hurt, though, I do believe, and left the game.
That is incredibly unfortunate. I mean, I trust Andrew Thomas, but, I mean, everybody else is...
No pressures for 2 weeks in a row. He's, I think, tied for with Trent Williams for the
best
tackle in the
NFL. Yeah, right, dude, he's looking like an all-pro or second-team
sure,
all-pro.
Yeah, well, great. One out of five.
I mean, Nick Yates looks pretty, I mean, pretty good for what I mean, all things considered. Glowinski's all right. He'll give up some pressures, but, like, he's not terrible, but I mean, left guard, especially with Izudu out, like you hope Bredesen is ready soon. I don't even know his status.
I don't think Izudu's out, by the way. I think he'll play this week.
I hope so, because he looked a whole lot better than Lemieux.
Yeah. We have to go back to doing the things we did at the beginning of the season. You know, you got to be able to run the ball, because if Daniel Jones is dropping back 35, 40 times with Micah Parsons chasing him, as well as the rest of the Dallas defense, we will be in trouble. I think ball control, Daniel Jones runs a little more. We get Saquon moving. We're at the end of that timetable for Evan Neal. Do we get lucky? I know it's a short week. Maybe playing on Sunday would have been a little more helpful. We would have had a better shot at seeing him play this week. I think that'll go a long way to helping the run game and Daniel Jones.
We miss Bellinger a lot. Yeah,
and I think he's still –
yeah,
he's gonna be
another week. Yeah,
Danger is not a blocker. He's been nice as a receiver and a nice little surprise. But yeah, the Bellinger being able to be
that
more than adequate
guy
at blocking,
yeah,
and decent at receiving. Tommy, hold on. I want to come back to you on the right tackle thing. I have to disagree with you, man. Like, yeah, Evan Neal is definitely an upgrade, and we want him back. But if we got to play the long term game with him, like, this guy needs to be the guy moving forward. I don't know that I want to rush him back. You know, if he wasn't ready 4 days ago, what is going to substantially change? This is where we got to talk to Big Mac and get the injury report here. But what is going to change with an MCL recovery in 4 days that they're going to feel good about putting him against this defense? And Parrott, not that I'm excited about it, but there was once a time we thought he could be a contender. And with, you know, how Bobby Johnson has played, first extended action, he played 62 snaps, had a 57.8 grade, and a 71% as a pass blocker. 2 hurries on 47 pass blocking attempts. Not amazing. And, you know, the Lions were supposed to be terrible, but I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm putting Neal out here this Thursday under any circumstances. But sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I understand, man. I mean, Dallas pass rush and their whole, I mean, front four.
The disciple said, fuck you too, Tommy. I'm gonna interrupt you as well.
I was just throwing it out there.
It's fair. He's young. If he's ready and he's healthy, 4 days probably doesn't do it. But, you know, let's hope he's healthy, and if they test his knee and he's good to go, you know, he's out there playing. I'm, you know, not going to rush the kid back, but he does, him just coming back helps was my point. So we'll see what happens Thursday.
I mean, we just need the big plays again. Like, I feel like when they played Dallas the first time, like, that only real touchdown was that Saquon long run, right? They got a bunch of field goals in that, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at, like I said earlier, getting back to what we were doing earlier, we turned the ball over three times. You turn the ball over three times on Thursday.
And you don't take away the ball against the Detroit Lions.
You know, not going to be enjoying the end of our dinners and dessert. You don't turn the ball over. Maybe you get one. You know, Dak's playing well, but, you know, he's been known to turn the ball over. You got to turn these other teams over. The killer, too, is the Giants are, after last week, 26 in the league in penalties per game. So you're giving up too much in penalty yards when we're not, you know, what our power ranking says we are. We're not one of those top teams that, you know, has the offensive weapons to, you know, recover from, you know, giving up 50 to 100 yards in penalties in a game. So you got to cut back the mental mistakes. And can we get a flag when Dexter, you know, his shirt ripped off and we're seeing belly and Thibodeau is basically getting tackled? Can we get a flag? That's just me, the homer in me, sitting home in front of my television watching going, where's the hold?
I do try to be objective with the rest as much as I can, as much as a fanatic can be. But, and I have obviously, we haven't talked about Tibbs much, and that's part of the problem, right? But it does seem like he is being held on a lot, like where they got him around the neck as he's coming around and it is not called. Even the one they showed the replay on the broadcast and it looked like a clear hold and they didn't even call the hold on him. It was on the right tackle. It was on Ocean Ximenez, whoever was playing right tackle for them. The name escapes me at the moment. So I agree with you there, Tommy. I don't know. Thibodeau does not seem to be drawing the holds that at least my untrained eye is seeing on the TV. The two reasons for optimism, in my opinion, one, perhaps we'll be all too high on tryptophan to even stay awake for this game, and we can all take a nice little nap and dream of the Giants beating the Cowboys, because that might be the only way that we're going to see that happen. The other one is that Mike McCarthy might be dumb enough to hand Ezekiel Elliott back the lion's share of the snaps. I mean, Tony Pollard has been unbelievable, and by far the Giants struggle with that type of running back more so than Elliott, who's no slouch, but I mean,
Pollard is just the more complete back. Yeah, Pollard
is crushing it. Thank you for fantasy, at least.
You hate to root for those guys, man. Sometimes you just got to do it with the players and the points.
This was a bad week for me as a Giant fan, an even worse week for a guy that has Saquon Barkley played against Jamal Williams.
Oh,
tough.
That's horrendous. Horrific.
I, too, have Barkley in two leagues. Wandale, though, was a nice spot start for me. I was hoping I could rely on him for the rest of the – you know, man, I know we moved past the Lions game, but the Wandale piece hurts not just because this team desperately needs
it's him because
so badly
it's
right
going to dig into next year, too. That's
yes, it's really, a late November ACL. This guy really is going to start the season on the pup. Like, it damn it. That's tough. Also, did any of you watch that game closely enough? What was Micah Parsons' injury? He's listed as questionable. I saw him doing something after the game.
I looked at the injury report. It says it's a foot. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure where he's at with that. It was a walkthrough today, as was the Giants.
I think, but DeMarcus Lawrence sat out with a foot injury too.
Yeah, he was also listed, but. I mean, the Giants' injuries are just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I don't know how this keeps happening. I mean, the players are freaking petitioning the league to change the turf. They say they're going to change it, but it's still synthetic. It's like, what are we doing here? Should we just go to grass? Like, I think that's really the move. I'm sick of this shit, dude. How many guys have to tear their ACL before we even fucking, you know? It's really, really.
How many of the Giants' rookie class this year have torn ACLs? McKeithen for sure, Wandale for sure. Not Beavers, but the other guy.
But Wandale,
it was Beavers.
Wandale, Sterling Shepard. Not that he's a rookie, but two receivers both tore their knees at home.
Yeah,
tough. Yeah, we needed Shepard this year, man.
Bring back Bring back the field of painted mud.
Yeah, no, I'm all for it. All for it.
All right, so real quick, let's dial into Thursday, though. Let's, you know, taking away our current optimism or lack thereof. Cowboys, strengths. You know, you got to say pass rush and this two-headed running attack is got to be the Cowboys' strengths right now. I don't know if you guys got anything else.
I mean, Trevon Diggs could probably erase. Who's the best? Who's the number one receiver? Slayton?
Who cares?
Exactly. Like, Trevon Diggs is pretty fucking good, man. I mean he held Jefferson to, like, nothing.
We've been talking about this. We don't have a guy like that. He's just going to shut down whatever half of the field he's on.
Yeah.
So you're going to really be limited to throwing to, half to, maybe down to a third.
It's going to be the Richie field. James show now. Back to Richie James being our number one wide receiver.
Oh, God.
Or Saquon catches 10 out of the backfield.
Yeah. I would love to see that. Hey, put Breida in the backfield and put Barkley out there. Who cares? We need to use the players that we have. But I think the Cowboys' strengths, unfortunately, line up against the Giants' weaknesses, right?
They're very good at running the ball.
Yeah. The Giants are, 32nd in defending the run and did themselves zero favors last week either. And their pass rush, obviously, as our much maligned offensive line, except for Andrew Thomas. I think the only thing that is possible, I believe, Tommy, you mentioned it earlier, we got to get back to running the ball, running it up the gut. Giants have to be plus 10 minutes in the time of possession. Like, take the ball out of their hands. Let the defense hopefully get something opportunistic and get another possession for the Giants. But the Giants have to be able to run. And I don't want to take a whole half of a game before Daniel Jones runs. We got to figure out who this kid is. Who cares if he gets hurt? We need to win. We need to see if he can handle it. If that can't be part of his game because we are afraid of him getting hurt, then that helps the evaluation. That is a huge ding if using his legs is not part of how Daniel Jones can attack a team.
100%. I mean, that's one of his best qualities. It might be his number one best quality.
And we just got to keep saying it into existence. You hope you get, instead of two catches out of Kenny Galladay, maybe you get four. And maybe one of them's, more than 10 yards. I'm not going to go out and say a touchdown, but what a Bronx cheer he got on Sunday for just catching a ball over the middle.
Oh. You know, a lot of people said it was sarcastic. How did it feel in the stadium, Disciple? What was your read on that?
Definitely a sarcastic kind of tone to it. I mean, if he dropped it, he would have gotten booed. I mean, it was sarcastic, but at the same time, it was like, wow, like, on one side of it, it was like, wow, he finally did something. Let's go. And then it's like, there you go, Kenny. Like, we need you. Like, let's go. Like, come on, man. You're a part of this team. We want you, like, catching shit. Like, we need you. We literally need you.
Yeah, I don't understand why there would be sarcasm. Like, I get it. Like, it's sad that we're getting that excited over such a simple pass. But to your point, the Giants need him. And whatever the case is, we are committed to him. And especially even more than it already was with Wandale going out. No one is walking through that door. I think this Sunday, and depending on the mass of this Thursday, settles the Odell situation. He's going to the Cowboys.
Oh, God, it hurts, but he's just playing both sides,
Please cue Mac. I'm playing both sides. That way I come up on top.
No, I'm playing both sides. That way I always come out on top.
Telling you all this is because I'm playing both sides so that I always come out on top.
The only thing Philadelphia is ever good for.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think while he's playing both sides, CD Lamb's in Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak, Jerry's a big personality, Tony Pollard looks good, Micah on defense. After Saquon, who he's supposedly friends with, He's the number one guy on the Giants if he comes back.
And, in New York.
In New York.
I mean,
it's all ego with this guy. That might be the one thing that we have going for us, that he goes, hey, I can come in here, and if If I have one, two good games down the stretch and we make the playoffs, I'm a hero. Which for a guy like him,
yeah,
might be enough to do it. Obviously, the money's going to play a big role, but you know,
he's going to visit both.
Discount his ego.
Yeah, where do you shine brighter though? Being one of many stars that go to a Super Bowl, or being one star on a team in rapid decline?
Yeah, if he didn't get the ring last year, I'd be like, oh, he's definitely going to Cowboys. But because he already has the ring, like, it's not everything.
Comes back and sticks it to Gettleman's gone, but sticks it to everyone in New York that, you know, said that was a good trade. Get rid of the guy. You know, don't let the door hit you in the ass. And he comes back and, you know, he's the guy and he's a hero. I'll take it. I'll take it at this point.
100%.
The Giants need someone in the building with more talent than they have. And we don't even know if the guy, what he's coming back like health-wise. But he walks in and he improves that room, especially now after another injury.
All right. Well, I'll let you guys take some optimism here, and I'll ride the train. I still got the dream alive. If Odell can help us beat the Commanders twice, sure, let's do it. All right, that brings us to our next segment, What the F Would That Look Like? Each week, we posit a hypothetical and discuss what the F the world would look like if that were to come true.
What the F would it look like if the Giants rebounded by going to Dallas and beating the Cowboys in front of the country on Thanksgiving?
I say it looks no different than where we are right now. The Giants go out, they get a win. Great. All the haters will still be out. It'll be some excuse of Dallas did that, Dak did this, Mike McCarthy blew it. You know, I guess there's just a little of that Giant fan in me.
I mean, if the Giants can pull this one out, it's a massive upset. A massive.
Oh, it's a huge upset. I just think.
Oh, they'll be like, nothing. No changes. Credit for the Giants. It's everything, you know, the Cowboys did.
Yeah, no love. You know, like Mrs. Maris said to Terry on the stage getting the trophy, you never pick us. the media loves to hate the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not there yet. But all you heard the past 2 weeks was, you know, how bad we are. You know, and I'm not a Giant fan that doesn't root for the Jets. But, you know, the Jets had the uglier loss on Sunday. And you turn ESPN on, you turn on, you know, CBS Sports. You know, these guys love to hate the Giants. I just don't think anything changes. Could it sway, you know, Odell a little bit? Okay, these guys are alive. I come back. We got to win a game against Washington and a game against Indianapolis, and I'm a hero. That might, you know, be a, you know, what the F happens. But I don't think much changes, except we're a lot happier headed into Black Friday.
You just feel a lot better.
Tommy, you're the optimist on this podcast. I'm so surprised at you. I agree with both of you. The national media loves to be Giants haters, but what are you talking about? What the F would it look like? It would look like I'm blackout at my parents' house because I'm celebrating so hard on Thursday, which might be embarrassing, but hey, I'll take it for a Giants win. Beating the Dallas Cowboys on a nationally televised game that is just coming off a 40-3 trouncing of the current number one overall seed in the NFC, that would change everything. Like, if I can be this low about a game where everything went wrong for the Giants and they lost to the Lions, I will be so far on the other side. Who cares what the national media says? This is about us. Like, could you imagine the hype train in Giants Nation? Beating the Cowboys, which is just exciting no matter what other circumstances there are. To do it, to extend the Giants' lead, a stranglehold at this point on a playoff spot, like that, I'm just very, very surprised to hear you say nothing would change, because it is full steam ahead. We are back, baby. Let's go. I'm delusional, but I'm jacked up now. It would look amazing.
I hope it happens.
All right. Well, that's time for our segment, Four Down Territory. And where this week we name the top four guys that have not seen a lot of action, but need to step up now if the Giants are going to do anything in the second half of the season. What do we got? First down.
My first down would have got to be Rodarius Williams. I mean, with Adoree Jackson and Fabian Moreau possibly being out this week, I mean, we need at the very, very least solid cornerback play from him. If not, it's curtains early.
I hope you're right, because he had a really big missed tackle. I want to say on a third down that ended up going for a decent gain. He had bottled up. He just missed the tackle. So definitely needs to step up. And I believe, is he also coming back from an ACL injury?
From last year? Yeah. That makes sense.
Jesus. It's every other guy with this team. All right, second down.
Offensive line. Shane Lemieux's back. You're excited. The guy's getting out on the field. Good story. But, you know, we talked about this earlier. He did not play well. He hasn't played well in the past. You know, Izudu, Gates, Feliciano, do we have guys that you could put out there? Because if this guy doesn't improve, hey, you know, and Saquon's looking at 30, 40 yards again, we're in trouble. Because that offense for Dallas will be on the field too much. And it just everything ties together. Now they're out here. We're exposed at the corners. They're throwing the ball all over the place. It doesn't look good. We need to win time of possession. We need to win the turnover battle. We need the front five to play well, and Lemieux looked terrible last week.
So is there any chance that Shane Lemieux starts again on Thursday? Do you think that's the plan? Do you want it to be the plan?
I don't want it to be the plan. He, you know, went to the bench for the second half on Sunday. So, you know, you got to hope that, you know, Kafka and Daboll and the offensive line coaches get together and come up with something better than Lemieux was. You know, they had to activate him, right? They had to get him going. Was he rushed back? You know,
he didn't. I would argue yes. Quick hitter before we move to third down, Tommy, while I have you. Yes or no, Nick Gates needs to be starting on Thursday. Yes or no?
He's healthy. He showed he could come out. Let's let him have a chance. Get him on the field. Start him.
Bye-bye, Feliciano. Nick Gates is coming for you. Third down, what do we got?
Third down's got to be we need a big game, and, you know, games moving forward from Cordell Flott. He dropped an interception on third down.
Got to have it.
Yeah, it sucked, man. It was so hard to watch. As a rookie, it would have been his first interception, just through the hands.
He's tiny, though.
I know you
mentioned him in third down. He's obviously got to step up. Is it because there's literally no other bodies? Or, like, what are your expectations for this kid?
I mean, if you draft, we drafted him, what, the third round? I mean, he's got to be somebody on this team moving forward.
And that is devoid of the Giants' history of, what, like two decades of the third round being the biggest black hole in the world. So for your sake, I hope we're right and we defy history there. He has looked pretty decent. I mean, for a small guy, he plays with some feistiness. He came up and had a pretty big tackle. I forget at what point in the game, but it stood out to me. But all right, Cordell Flott. Let's hope he puts his big boy pants on. Fourth down.
Fourth down's brought to you by the president of the Kenny Golladay fan club and cheering section. You need to get something out of him. We have to root for him. Like I said before, all kidding aside, he comes out, gives us four or five and, you know, 40, 50 yards. No one's coming in off the street. It's a short week. Everyone's hurt. Richie James is playing. Hodgins is playing. He put the ball on the ground. These guys are all guys you brought off the street that weren't, you know, going to be on NFL rosters if it wasn't for, you know, the New York Giants. We're taking them off of practice squads. You need to get something out of this guy. He's got to get his head straight. You know, we're in a time where it's okay to talk about mental health. Does the guy need to sit down with somebody and get things straightened out on that level? But we need something out of this guy. We have no one left. Kenny Galladay's got to come on the field. And at this point, I don't even care about him earning some of that money. It's going to be one of the worst free agent signings, you know, in New York sports history. Can we get something out of him down the stretch and, you know, maybe a good Thanksgiving story or something like that going into this game, something that, you know, John Madden would have been, you know, singing about the whole game. Here's this guy that has been terrible for 2 years and, you know, he does this or that, you know, make some kind of play to spark him, not even a touchdown, but just does something on the field to get the team going and to help out Daniel Jones and Saquon in the offense.
I couldn't agree more, Tommy. Yeah, you know, let's go two for two on the Ted Lasso references. We got to get Sharon Fieldstone in here to unlock whatever's going on there, because there's no way the man turned into stone hands. There's something up here that just ain't right. So with that, let's roll into our last segment for today, and that is huge predictions.
What is that?
It's huge, Tom, huge!
Now, huge predictions is not brought to you by Fusilla Automotive, but We are working on it. So if anybody knows their VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com. This week on Huge Predictions, we're going to give our predictions for Thanksgiving and beyond.
Huge prediction is the Giants, they lose 35-3 and they lose out 7-10 on the year.
No, fuck that. That's stupid.
Woof. I hate to be that guy, but it's absolutely in the realm of possibility. The Giants are flirting with disaster, as Molly Hatchet once said.
All right. I'm going to be quick with my prediction because I also have something else that I wanted to share heading into Thanksgiving weekend. It's not going to be the greatest game. They are going to score some points. I think we're looking at a 3 or 4 field goal performance from Graham Gano. Maybe get one on defense. And the Giants eke one out 26-24 with a field goal at the end to shock the world on Thanksgiving Day. And I just wanted it with the NFL salute to service. And some of our favorite Giants that we might know about, some we might not know about, you know, served our country proudly. One Giant that we don't know a lot about, and I was lucky to come across a story and did some research about Jack Loomis. He was a two-way end, came out of Baylor. He was inducted into the New York Giants Ring of Honor. He played 9 games with the New York Giants, 1 career reception. And the Medal of Honor that he won, you know, representing our country on the shores of Iwo Jima, where he lost his life as a member of the United States Marine Corps. I just wanted to, you know, share my thanks to First Lieutenant, United States Marine Corps, and New York Giant forever, Jack Loomis, and thank all our veterans and wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
Well said, Tommy. So let's end tonight with the fact that the NFL just simply is not aware that the Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York
football.
Giants.
For Disciple and Tommy, I'm Mac. We're Big Blue all goddamn day. Good night. I'm back in the New York blue.